Okay, let's begin. Bava Matzia Lamed Amud Aleph and Lamed Amud Beis. So on Amud Aleph, we are going to start about halfway down, a little more than halfway down. It says Tanu Rabbanan Hamotzeh Kli Eitz. All right, it's after the two dots say Kli Katzef Kli Nechoshet Mishtamish Behen. And the halacha that we're discussing here is what happens if you find an object. So obviously you have a now a chiyuv of hashavat aveda of giving it back. The question is, what do you do with the object as long as you have it with you? Are you allowed to use it? What would you expect before you even start? Would you be allowed to use such an object?
No.
No. Anybody say yes?
Yes, you're not allowed to use something belonging to another person without his permission.
That's what you would expect. Right, let's say I found a picture like this. It was, I don't know. It was in the shul. And nobody picked it up for a while. So I thought, I'll do a mitzvah, I'll take it home, and I'll try to check on Facebook if anybody has it. And now I have the picture sitting on my table in the house, because that's where I put it. Can I put water in it, and can I use it to pour water from it?
Well, that's a good example, because you don't detract anything. Thank you.
That's right.
You don't detract anything from the...
That's right.
Yeah, lemon, just a piece of lemon would be amazing. Thank you. If you don't detract anything from the jug, by the way.
That's right.
Pitcher goes on the wall. That's a jug.
No, that's a picture.
So we can get into whether there's water inside or water.
All right. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, rabbis teach us in the Raisa, Amotze Kli Eitz Mishtamesh Behen. If you find a wooden kli, you're allowed to use it, and you should use it, really. Why? Because we don't want it to rot. If you don't use the kliates, you're going to keep
it.
You're going to store it somewhere where you're going to store it. There's going to be dampness, and it's going to become spoiled, and the wood's going to rot. So you should use it, because it's actually good for the object to use it. Klei nechoshet mishtamesh behen b'chamin, aval lo al yedei ha'ur. Vivnei shemashchikan. If you have something made out of nechoshet, out of copper, or some kind of metal, you can use that. You can even use it. You can even put hot water in it or hot objects in it. But you're not allowed to use it on the fire. You shouldn't use it over the stove, because if you use it over the stove over and over, what's going to happen? It's going to become blackened. So you're not allowed to damage it, but you are allowed to use
or?
It.
It's not to be exposed to the light like it... Like,
no, hot fire. Fire.
Okay.
So when you say it's saying when you pick up an object, there's a certain responsibility then?
Yeah.
Is it the same as the Shomechinon?
Well, let's see. Aval lo ayideh or mnei shemashchikan. Klei kesef mishtamesh ben betzonen, aval lo b'chamin. Silver is sensitive to heat, so you should only use it with cold. Mnei shemashchiran, it blackens it. Magrifot v'kardumot mishtamesh ben b'rach, aval lo b'kasheh. What are magrifot and kardumot? Kardumot is a hammer. Magrifot, yes, is like a rake, so you're allowed to use it for soft things, but not for hard things. Mnei shemafchitan, because it would damage that. Even a hammer, it will get dents in it. If you bang on things with it. So you can use it for softer things that won't damage it, but not for hard things. Apparently, glass and gold you shouldn't use, because anything you do could damage it. So you'd be very careful with it. And you shouldn't do anything to it until Eliyahu comes. In other words, you should hold on to it until Eliyahu comes, or until you find the person to whom it belongs. Okay.
How about if it costs you to keep it?
Excellent question. Let's return to that soon, at the bottom of the page. Kederek shamru ba'aveda, kach amru ba'pikadon. The same thing they say about an aveda, they say the same thing about a pikadon. In other words, if Meir leaves a silver object with me, I can use it for cold, but I can't use it for hot. Even if he left it with me on purpose, and he didn't say anything about whether I was going to use it or not. So I'm allowed to use it. So it's interesting. Pikadon, maya avidite gabei. What do you mean? Mayor gives me something, or somebody gives me something, they should be the ones who take care of making sure that it stays in use and doesn't get damaged. Why is it up to me, the shomer, to take care of it? So the answer is, Amar Avada Barchama, Amar Av Sheshes, Bapigadon Shalchu Baalein LeMedina Sayam. In other words, you're right. In a normal case, as long as we're still all living in Ra'anana, you can give me something, and I don't have to do anything with it, because you'll make sure that it doesn't get worn out. But if you gave it to me and you unexpectedly had to fly to or go on a ship to Australia and you're going to be gone for a while, unexpectedly,
because they're going away.
If it was very expected, then you might have told me, please take care of this and make sure to use it. I say unexpected because this is a case where you don't know for sure. The person did not say anything to you about what you should do with it. So the assumption is that you should use it because it will actually maintain its quality and make sure that it doesn't get damaged. So that is that section. Okay, we'll go to the next part. Also connected to Tashavat Avida. Matza sak okupa b'chol davar shein darko litol, areze lo yitol. What happens if you find something on the floor which is frankly not even worth picking up? Some kind of box or some kind of bag that for whatever reason, you know what, if it was, you know, it's just, if it was yours, for example, you wouldn't even bother picking it up. You wouldn't go bother going back for it. You'd just say, you know what, this is really not important. So what's the halakha there? Hareze lo yitol. You don't pick it up. You found an object that doesn't belong to you, but to you is so irrelevant, you don't pick it up. And there's no problem with that. So the Gemara says, this is an astonishing halakha. After all, Hashavas Aved is very, very important. Minani mili. From where do these words come? Where does this come from? The Tanu Rabbanan, vihisalamta, pamim sha'ata mitalem. All right, pamim sha'ata mitalem. So I don't know if you guys have the pesukim on the side. I think they got cut off. I'll read you the pasuk. Yeah. The pasuk says, "Efes ki lo yabecha evyon." No, that's not the pasuk. Hold on. Here, "Lo tireh et shor achicha ot seo nidachim v'italam tameim ashev teshivem la'achicha." Technically, the pasuk is talking about animals. You know, seeing animals in trouble. But the main part is that you should not see them v'italamta, and you ignore them.
Isn't that helping your brothers opposed to Hashavas Avida? The
halacha that's learned from that. Ashev teshivem la'achicha.
Okay, but isn't there another halacha
that's learned? Azov tazovimo. Is that the one?
Ashev teshivem is a general idea that you should do something to make sure that your friend's property doesn't get lost and destroyed. So you give it back to him.
No, I understand ashev teshivem. Isn't there, like, if you see your chaver, your
enemies.
You're right. There is a pasuk like that. We'll see soon, hopefully, why the Gemara did not use that pasuk. Because first of all, that pasuk does not have any exceptions in it. This one, the way that the Gemara is working, is that there's an exception here. It says, velo tisalamta, meaning you should generally not be tisalem, you should not ignore what's going on. Don't see things that need your help and ignore them. So the Gemara somehow comes up with, pamim sha'ata mitalem. There are some times when you do ignore them. There are some times where you are mitalem. Rashi says, upamim v'hitalamtahem, in other words, sometimes you do something about it, and sometimes you don't do something about it. When do you not do something about it? What are the exceptions? Generally, you should do something about it. What are the exceptions? So, ha-ketzad, haya kohen, v'hi b'veis ha-kvaros, o shaya zaken v'ina l'fi kvodo, o shaya samalach ha-shalom, ru b'mishal chavero, l'kach ne'amar v'yisalam tamehem. So, these are all cases where you can ignore. What are the cases?
What does that mean?
So, let's go one by one. So, there's the Kohen and the Beit HaKvaros. In other words, you're a Kohen, and you see a lost object, you see an object in a cemetery. So, it would require you to go into the cemetery and get the object to get return it to its owner. So, there, it's mistaber that you're a Kohen, you can't go into the cemetery, and that's why you don't have to go in.
Wouldn't an Asri do Kalosasa in that case?
So Simon's on the ball tonight. We'll get there at the end. Hashem Kishivayim should be Zohar Kohen.
Okay,
good, so the Gemara is going to get back to that. That's the first case. The second case is seemingly a random case. In other words, you are a zaken. We're going to have to define that term. That's one of the things we're going to spend time on. Let's just say for now, you are a person who is of sufficient nobility and seniority that it's not shayach for you to go back and do that. So somehow, that's a ptur. That's easily the most surprising.
But we're still talking about something here with little value.
Yes, yes.
So all of these things, you could argue that the Kohen maybe would have to go in or whatever else if it was with a greater value.
No, I'm sorry. That's not the case. This is a case. So far, right now, what we're talking about are blanket cases. The zaken lefichvado is always v'salamta mehem. The Mishnah was talking about a case where it was of low value. Now we're beyond that. Now we're talking about general cases. The zaken lefichvado and the kohen and the last one, which is the last one, does have to do. The last one's going to have to do with the value of the object, but. Here, the last one is about the value of the object. The last one is Shaita Malacha Shalom Merub Mishal Chavero. This is a case where what you would be doing, what you're on your way to do, is worth more money than the object that you would be returning to the owner. Which means that by going back, stopping, getting the object and returning to its owner, you're going to lose more money than he is going to get.
Lawyer's rates, hourly rates.
Right? So even if in theory you would ask him for the money back, in other words, you'd give him his whatever.
Do you have to give him the money of the value of the article that you left there?
No.
Oh, you mean if you ignore it,
yeah, you said,
should you have to? Good question. We'll hopefully have time for that. I don't think we're going to have time for that. We'll see if we have time for that.
Should we be writing in the rain a little bit more?
It's certainly an option. It's certainly an option. You could, in theory, say, I'm not going to go get it. I'll just pay the guy. It's certainly an option, but we're going to get back to the parameters of that. I don't think we're getting back to it, but whatever.
Then he would have to compensate you for the work.
Right, so that's the point Pinchas is making, is what's the idea
he
here?
He doesn't have a chiyuv. The chiyuv is on you. He doesn't have a chiyuv.
That's true, but what if you're going to lose money on the deal?
So he doesn't have a chiyuv not for you to earn money on a deal.
But maybe you'll say, I'm only going to do this if that guy's going to pay me back, because I'm losing money for this. So the Gemara is saying that, the Braisa is saying that if he can't even pay you enough, then you definitely don't have to do it. Right? In other words, if you're going to return to him a picture, right, and you're going to miss out on a gig singing in the Great Synagogue, then it's not worth it for you, even if he would pay you back for the picture. He's not going to pay you more than that. It doesn't make sense.
Depends how valuable the picture is.
Yeah. So that's what that third case is. Now, the Gemara immediately says, what's going on here? This whole thing seems kind of silly. Lamai itzrichva. Why do I even need a pasuk for this? Elim el kohen. Maybe we need the pasuk specifically for the kohen case. Pshita. But I already know that the kohen shouldn't go in there. After all, hai ase v'haylo tase v'ase. So Simon was half right. There is an ase over here. Actually, Simon. You missed the point here because because we only found the lotase over here. That's a lotase. You should not ignore a lost. That's this pasuk. Lotir'eh et shorachicha. Yes, hashev tishveh. But it's just based off of lotir'eh of the lotir'eh.
So the basis of the mitzvah is not hashev tishveh, but
this one is only a lotase. This one is only a lotase. And so what happens? So you have here a lotase of hashavas aveda, but you have an ase of kohen. What's the ase and a lotase by kohen? Let me rewind. I apologize. You're right, Simon. There is Hashev Teshivim. That is an Aseh. You're right. Rashi says it. Hi Aseh. Hashev Teshivim.
But
Rashi says, Vavagav de Lotase Namiika. Wait, so let's wait on that Rashi, that part of the Rashi. The Pshat in the Gemara is that you have an Aseh here, but then on the other side, by the coin, you have an Aseh and a Lotase. What are the Aseh and Lotase of the coin? That's not an assay.
It's
Birchas Kohanim. It's an assay, but it's nothing to do with being Tamei. Yes, Kedoshim. Well, not Kedoshim to you, like our Kedoshim to you. Not the regular Kedoshim to you. It's the Kedoshim Yihiyu. And then Lenefesh Lo Yitama Ba'amav is a Lotase. In other words, it's a Kedoshim Yihiyu of an assay, and Lenefesh Lo Yitama is the lotase. And on the other side, there's only Hashev Teshivim, like Simon pointed out, which is an ase. So an ase and a lotase
trumps.
Exactly.
So if it wasn't for that, the kohen would have to go in.
No.
Yes, and even more, Rashi points out, particularly as Rashi.
The lotase, though.
What do you mean?
It would be sufficient just to have the ase.
Why?
Oh, no, hold on. Hashev Teshivim is an ase. And the kohen is an ase. You have an ase. So you do need the ase and the lotase.
Well, take a look at what Rashi says, because he makes it even stronger. Rashi points out, And we're going to see others on this. V'afagav de lo ta'aseh na mi'ika. The truth is, there's also a lo ta'aseh. It's not only an aseh, there's also a lo ta'aseh. Ein lo ta'aseh mo'il litchos lo ta'aseh ala asehu t'kachat dachile k'darminen b'yivamos. Interesting Rashi. What he says is that the truth is that by Hashavas Aveda there's an aseh and a lo ta'aseh. So really the lineup is aseh and lo ta'aseh versus aseh and lo ta'aseh. But the point over here is that it doesn't work because the aseh is docha is going up against the aseh, but the lo ta'aseh doesn't fight against the lo ta'aseh. There's no rule that a lo ta'aseh is docha another lo ta'aseh. It's confusing because how does Rashi know then that the aseh and the lo ta'aseh of the kohen is more important than the hashavas aveda? Presumably because it comes first. That's what I think. Ramban's going to have another thing to say about this.
But why doesn't the Gemara say it like that?
Why doesn't the Gemara bring up the aseh?
Gemara just says high aseh for Hashavas Aveda, doesn't it?
You're right. That's what Rashi is wondering. That's what Rashi is wondering. So Rashi's answer is because it's irrelevant. That this would be the same answer. That it would still be an aseh. Even if it was an aseh and a lot aseh, the other aseh and lot aseh would still beat it.
The conclusion would be the same.
Yes.
But the how we would understand the mitzvah of Hashavas
Aveda
would be
different. So what Rashi is saying is that it's irrelevant. That's why it doesn't even mention it. We'll see that the Ramban changes things a little bit, but not yet. So that's as far as the Kohen. And he says, V'tu lo dachinan isura mikame mamona. Now this is an interesting thing. Lo dachinan isura mikame mamona. What does that mean?
The issue of the Kohen becoming tameh,
yes,
isn't doche by a halacha to do with money,
right? What's the implication here?
Issue a more chamor.
And is there no isser here, or is there no aseh here?
But what
the Gemara is saying is that
even if you
have the Kohen is not allowed to go into cemetery, and that the fact that there is a mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, that's just about money, and money is not doche this. What does that mean? There's also a mitzvah aseh of Hashavas Aveda. Why is that?
Luchas mamonin and the luchas issa.
That's true. So
and they have different strengths.
They're not
right?
The same strength.
Okay, so. So we're saying the Isra on the Kohen is stronger than any mitzvah money. Having to do with money.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe.
I know, for example, that Hilchas Mamonis is stronger than Hilchas Kibud of the Aim. I don't know whether that's... I know that there are different...
For sure. And then maybe that is what's going on over here. Okay. So let's continue. So that's in terms of the Kohen. So we do need it for the... we don't need it for the Kohen, really, because we would have known it already, anyways, we would have known it, right? Ella l'shalom merubah mishal chavero. Maybe we need it for the halacha about the fact that if the object is not worth more than what you would be making in this moment, maybe that's what we need it for. Midi Rav Yehuda Amarav nafka d'amar Rav Yehuda Amarav efes ki lo yeh b'chayav yon. Yeah, you have to share. Efes ki lo yeh b'chayav yon shalcha kodom shalchal adam. Says, well, we don't really need it for that either, because there's a general rule over there that whenever it's your money against somebody else's money, your money wins. So I don't need a pasuk to tell me that if I'm going to lose money by returning somebody else's property that I don't have to do it, because that's just based on this din of Efes Leia B'chayav Yon. We already know that.
But you have a mitzvah say to make money?
It doesn't matter. The point is that if the idea of Hashavas Aveda is to protect somebody else's money, I don't have an obligation to protect somebody else's money at the expense of my own.
Why not?
Because that's the limitation on all these mitzvahs. Lo yeh b'chayav yon. Shalcha kodam l'shal kol adam. That's the principle. In other words, I don't need Vihisalamta to teach me this. It's kind of like Chayecha Kodman, but with money.
Interesting. I mean, it's not definite that you're going to make that deal, but it is definite that you're now going to be over on the Nasi.
What do you mean? Definitely, I'm going to make money.
You're okay, but you know that you're definitely going to make money. Like, this guy's going to do a deal.
You're suggesting, what if the difference? What if it's a if it's between me going to make an investment that I could win, I could make money or lose money,
you're quite sure you're
versus getting... me going, or maybe I'm going to a business deal and I don't know whether they're actually going to agree or not, versus returning this person's money. That's an interesting point. In other words, what do I do about a case where I'm not sure I'm actually going to make money? Versus somebody versus returning somebody's vaday money. That's an interesting point. The Gemara doesn't address
it. I wasn't what I was thinking. It's a very interesting point.
Well, it is an interesting point, anyway.
Yeah. What did you mean?
It's more interesting than what you were going to say.
Like, if somebody wanted to sell a picture.
Yeah.
Right. And you don't know whether you're going to buy it or not. Right. So you don't know whether you're going to buy it.
It's pretty much the same as what I just said. In other words, you don't know whether the deal is
going to be. The guy said, bring the picture, I'll pay you for it. Right. And you're going there, and you expect to get the money.
Okay, that's pretty.
That's pretty.
It's your
Parnassa. Okay, so you're saying
there's an Asiya Parnassa? Which is there's. It doesn't matter whether there's an Asiya Parnassa. There's a condition in all money halachot that you don't have to lose money to save somebody else's money.
What I'm saying is, it's not like the guy's standing there and you're going
to. By the way, you know where this comes up? It comes up in Hashavas Aveda, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, famous Gemara in Sanhedrin about Lo Tamar Al Adam Riacha. How do you know that if somebody's drowning in the water that you have to save them, have to save their life? How do we know?
Lo Tamar Al Adam Riacha.
So the Gemara says you don't need Lo Tamar Al Adam Riacha. You know why? Because you have a Hashavas Salah. The fact that you have to give back his property, so for sure you have to give him back his life. So if you have to save somebody's money, for sure you have to save their life. That's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says. So why do we need Lo Tamar Al Adam Riacha?
There's not this condition.
Because if there's a risk on your life.
Not a risk on your life, but a risk on your money. The answer is, if it would be only about v'hashevosela, then you wouldn't have to spend money to save his life. So if you can't save him and there's a lifeguard over there, you don't have to pay the lifeguard to go jump in after him. But because of lo tam lo dam riacha, you do. That tells you that you have to spend money.
This doesn't sound right. And I understand the logic behind it. You're walking down the street and a guy's car is open, the keys are in the switch, and there's nobody there.
Yeah.
And you are on your way to do a business deal that you can definitely do. There's no doubt that you're going to do it. Do you find the person whose car belongs to you first? And you know that if you start messing around with this car, you're not going to get and do your deal. You leave this guy's car, rolling down the road, whatever. Like, it's going to get damaged. It's going to get lost. It's going to be destroyed. And
you're talking about a case where the car is worth more than what you.
Irrespective, you're saying it doesn't matter whether it's worth more or not. You're saying you should not lose out for somebody else. It just doesn't ring right to me.
Yeah, based on Loti Avil Achayev Yon, based on that one, that would be the case. Yes. We're going to get to that soon.
You don't know the values of someone else. In other words, if you work at McDonald's and you're going to lose your job because you're late and you get 20 shekels an hour, but there's a Maserati there, maybe your 20 shekels an hour is worth a lot more to you than the Maserati is.
I would find it difficult to allow somebody. I think that from a Torah point of view, it sounds. Like, I don't understand why you would not be obliged to first of all save the other guy's stuff and then go and sort your own money out. It just seems... I'm going down the road and he's about to lose his car. And I can either stop him in his car or I can go and do a deal. Well, what should I do first?
You're just saying what you've got to do with... The quicker win it, in other words, you can definitely save the car.
I think if you're there and it's in front of you, you need to deal with it now because that's what's in front of you.
No, there are different cases where if the job you're going to do right now is worth more than the actual object, for sure, you don't have to return the object. If in a case like you mentioned, where it's a car, right, and you're going to do your job, and the car is worth, 100,000 shekel, you're going to do your job, then in those cases, I believe what you do is, you tell people, I'm returning the car on the basis that this person is going to pay me back for the stuff that I lost. And then that's what he has to do.
I'm not referring to value.
But that's the case. You don't have to. The Torah does not require you to lose money to save somebody else's money. Okay, so that's that case.
What you mean.
Yeah.
You make the statement that you're going to save a car and expect to be paid back in this.
Because of your trouble, yeah.
So before, that's not the point. Yeah, the point
so the Gemara basically just said for those two halachot we would not need a pasuk of Eisalamta because you could learn it from somewhere else. So what are we left with? The zaken vein alifichvodo. Elu the zaken vein alifichvodo. What about the person who it's not kavadik for him to reach down and get it? Amarabba he kish. Okay, so rather it's for that. So that's what they establish. It must be because only for that halacha. In other words, the whole pasuk is written. Not the whole pasuk, but the way that the pasuk is written to teach you about the zaken vein alifichvodo. Well, return to him later. Now the Gemara goes to the next step. And Amar Rabba, Hikisha Chayav. Rabba says an interesting thing. What's Hikisha? What does Rashi say? Rashi says, Hikisha ze she'eno lefichvodo, im Hikisha haka'a achat lahashiva nitchayev ba lahadura hol v'yitchil. Says, imagine this person, this big rabbi, this big 80-year-old rabbi, is walking down the street, and he sees a small bag of, I don't know, of agurot, and he normally would not pick it up under any circumstance, but he sees it, and he takes out his stick, and he picks up with his stick in order to examine a little bit more closely, so that he can bring it to the person, and then he thinks to himself, you know, it's not worth it, I think I'm going to put it back down. So Rabbi says the moment that he picks it up, thinking he's going to start to bring it back, he has to finish the job. He started the job. He started Hashavas Aveda. He's got to finish.
What about the concept of Din Prutaki Din Na?
What?
Din Prutaki Din Na. Who's to place a value on it?
No, the point is that in this case, the value doesn't even matter. The moment he starts, he has to finish. That's what Rabbi is saying.
Yeah, but initially we make a difference between them. So we don't apply the din me'ad. It's din pruta k'din me'ad.
What is the din pruta k'din me'ad?
I don't know. You're saying if he wouldn't bend down because he normally wouldn't do that, what's the difference between 10 agarot and 100 shekels?
So, you know what? Let's do 100 shekel as well. 100 shekel as well. 100 shekel, it's not covered for him to do it because he's such a zakin, he's so kavadik. So he doesn't pick it up.
The whole concept of the thing.
No, it's not. That's not purely the concept over here.
An old guy shouldn't also have to do the running.
The main part here is not the value, and the main part is that the person shouldn't be doing it. He would not normally be doing it. We wouldn't expect him to do it. It's not his kavod. So he shouldn't do it, but then he starts. He does. Lifnei mishuras hadin, he starts. Hikisha chayav. Chayav ba. Abaye avayativ kamei de rabba. Abaye was sitting in front of rabba. Chaza lahanach easy dekaimu shakal kala v'shadabahu. He saw these easy. He saw these goats that were standing somewhere, and they, you know, they obviously were lost, right? He thought, you know, I'll do something about it. Shakal kala ushadabahu. He took some dirt and he threw it at them to get them to start moving, to get them to start going back to their owners. Right? In other words, he did something. Hikisha. Amalei chayav tabuhu. Kum adrinu. So Abaye said to him, which one did it? Which one? Who's doing it? I think it was Abaye. Abaye did it. So Rabba said to Abaye, Rabba was Abaye's Rabba. Abaye's rabbi and pretty much his father. So he told him to finish the job. Rabba was Abaye's Rebbe. Abaye's name is Abaye so for one of two reasons. And one of them might be because his real name was Nachman, but Rabba's father's name was Nachman. So he didn't want to call him Nachman, so he called him Abaye. Like, basically, like, you know, my father's name. So Rabba told him, you've got to go finish the job. Okay, a couple more halachot. Ibayilahu, darko lahachzer basad davein darko lahachzer ba'ir mahu. What happens if you have the kind of person who, if he was in a field where there aren't people, you know, around, so if he's on his own, he would do it. But if he's in the city where it's pasnish for him to do it, it's hard for us to relate to this right now, he wouldn't do it. So what happens if he encounters that? Mi'amrinan hashava ma'alya b'inan v'kevin delav darki l'achzer b'ir lo l'chayev. Imagine that he finds an object in the sadeh, and he knows that in order to return it, what's he going to have to do?
Carry it to town.
He's going to have to carry it into town and find the person to whom it belongs. So he, in theory, picking it up in the sadeh is no problem, But bringing it to the ear, he wouldn't normally have to do that. He wouldn't have to pick it up in the ear. So what's the din? Does he pick it up in the sadeh because that's the fich vodo, and then bring it to the ear, even though it's not? Or does he say, I don't have to do it at all because it will inevitably lead to me doing it in the ear, which I don't have to do?
Is the issue of the pain is because he's old and it's difficult for him?
We don't know yet. I'm not going to tell you. We're going to get there, but I don't want to spoil it.
There's a big difference.
There is.
If he was going to pick it up, right, if he's in the field and he would pick it up in the field, then from what we just learned, you could think that he's because he's about to start it, he's got to see it through to the end.
Right.
But because that's too obvious.
No, you're right. No, the Gemara says teku. The Gemara doesn't know the answer. The Gemara says we don't know the answer.
Because he knows it's going to finish.
The question is, does he pick it up?
If it's a picking up, which is lolich vodo in town, then it's not the giving back in town that's his problem. So he should pick up in the sadeh.
But then he'll cause himself to have to bring it into.
Apparently, doesn't consider it below his kavod to pick something up in the field.
But it's going to end with him. It's not about the picking up, obviously. It's about the involvement in Hashavas Aveda, which, I don't know, to me, I would think would be very chavadik, but that's what's going on.
It's not a question about what's been lost. It's not a question of if what would other people think seeing him holding it or carrying it or anything.
It kind of is like that. It would be embarrassing, it's pasnished for him to.
Aveda, or is it because. Because the kind of
you wouldn't see Rakhanevsky carrying a goat down the street.
I think that's a good point.
But so. Although Rakhanevsky is probably the kind of rabbi that would say, "Give me the goat. Yeah, I want to take it to show."
Yeah, that's what makes this whole thing very confusing, and maybe we need to properly understand who Zakin is. So
you wouldn't answer.
If it's something that's it's more that it's dirty or it's heavy or whatever else, which is the things we've had before.
Then we'd understand much easier. Yeah. True. So what happens when it's a teku, by the way?
It's bending down to pick up.
Difficult for him. But it said even if it was...
More than the object itself, the act of bending down.
So we're going to find out. Can't take the touch.
So what do we do, though, by the way, when you have a teku?
You wait for Eliyahu Navi.
You know, that's fair. And true, but the question is, this person now, you know, he came upon a lost right app. What does he do?
Stands there.
It's a taker, but what do you do? We have to decide what to do. So there's always a usually. And what would you do in this case?
Ask the rabbi, and if he's
he says he doesn't know. So now
the rabbi comes along, tell him to take it.
The rabbi can't take it.
What should he do? What's the avera that he's being over on? If he carries it.
Whether there's an avera is a good question. Whether he has any reason to do it at all is also a good question. But
he's potter because.
But what is he? Does he have to or does he not have to?
I would say he has to, unless he's physically can't do it anymore.
But he was left as a taker, but you'd say he still has to.
Yeah.
Why?
Because
he doesn't have to go to Lifnei Mishuras Hadin, does he? Does he have to go to Lifnei Mishuras Hadin?
You're telling me that he's not doing any avera if he takes it. It's clear that he is doing an avera if he doesn't take it.
What do you mean clearly? He's not doing an avera.
The only reason he's got a tar is because of kvodo and zokin. So if he's zokin, because he's old and he can't do it, that's beseder patur. But if it's kvodo, I would say you should take it.
So what ends up happening is that, it's, of course, the teku is a machlokas.
It could not also be a question of whether the person who's lost it is expecting to get it back.
That's your meta halacha.
That's an interesting point.
So according to most of the Rishonim, he should pick it up.
Yosh, it's a very good point.
What? If it was in the Sadeh?
No, it's in the Sadeh. The person is not expecting probably.
Okay, you're inserting another element over here. The Gemara is not interested in that element, apparently. Because if it was, then it would have just said there's no... There obviously is the Shabbos Aved over here. That's not the issue. So the Rif seems to be a little bit vague about it. He seems to say that you don't have to, but almost all the Rishonim say that you should. You should be machmir and do it.
Do they give reason why? Is there a lamedus here, or it's just we think?
I think it's something along the lines of what you're saying, because in other words, there's nothing wrong with doing it, so we might as well be machmir. And there may be some kind of dine mamonos over here, but we'll revisit that. Let's go a little bit further. Amar Rava. Kol b'shalom machzir. This is what we were talking about before, Daniel. Kol b'shalom machzir b'shal chavero nami machzir. If it's the kind of, Rava says, if it's the kind of thing that you would pick up, you would go back and go get it, then you should do it for your friend. If it's the kind of thing that you would, you know, go to the trouble of picking up and laboring under it, so you should do it for your friend as well. This is talking about loading and unloading stuff from your friend, not from your animal, but from his animal, by the way, it's from him. What happened? Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi was walking, and he ran into a certain person, and the guy was carrying a bunch of trees. So what did Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi do? So he saw that the person put the stuff down. He put the trees down because he was getting tired. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi said, how much are the trees worth? Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi had a choice here. He could either help the guy carry it or load it up on the guy and help him reload it, whatever. Or he has another option. He decides to go with option number two, which is to pay the guy. He says, how much are they worth? I'll pay you for them. I'll buy the eitzim from you. I'll buy the trees from you. So the guy says, they're worth half a zuz. Nothing. Yayv le palga de zuza v'afkara. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi bought the eitzim for a half a zuz, and then
made them.
He said, I don't need them. So he just put them on the ground. He said, good, go on your way.
Could have gone the other way around. He could have said, okay, I bought them from you, and I'm going to go. And then the other guy is in the clear to take them to help the rabbi.
Right.
So Vavka, he's doing this to help the guy out, Simon. So what happened, though? What do you think happens?
The guy smiled, picks them up again.
Hadar Zachabu. So the guy picked them up again. He said, all right, they're mine again. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi, Hadar Yayv Le Palga de Zuza V'Afkara. He gave it to him again. He gave him another half of Zuz, and his Mafkar him again. Chaz Dehava Kabay Lemihadar Lemazaki Behu. Then Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi saw that this is going to continue to happen. He's going to keep doing it. Amalei Lekuli Alma Afkarana. I'm mafkir it to the whole world except for you, so you cannot pick it up. Sound good?
Fantastic.
If you're allowed to do that,
you can do
that. The Gemara says, "Umi avi efker, kai gavna." Can you do that? Can you do efker like that? Bahatnan. The Mishnah says, "Bet shami omer hefker laaniyim hefker ubeisil omer meenu hefker atche hefker laaniyim ula ashirim kishmita." So Beis Shammai is of the opinion that you can, you know, let's say you want to give some stucco, but you want to do it in a fancy way. So you just say, this stuff is all hefker for aniyim. So an usher can't come and get it. Beit Hillel says, you can't do that. There's no such thing as hefker unless you make it hefker to everybody. Hefker means you give it to the whole world. Like Shemitah. In Shemitah, right, a poor person and a rich person are the same. Each one of them can come into your backyard and take your mangoes. Elo Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi. So what did he do? How did Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi do that? So the answer is he didn't. He was really being mafkir to the whole world, and he was just trying to make a point to the guy. In other words, it was a melitza. He was just saying it to give him mussar. Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi zaken veinol fichvado hava, but he was a zaken veinol fichvado. So we understand that the reason he was doing this is probably because he didn't want to bother helping the guy carry the wood, right? But it goes beyond that, because he was definitely a zakein, and it's not a fichoda, which means he had no obligation to do it at all. He didn't have to help the guy. So the answer is, relating back to our last year, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi lifnei mishuras hadin hu da'avad. He did lifnei mishuras hadin. The Tani Rabbi Yosef, this should look familiar. It's the same. It's the same brisa that we saw last time. Not brisa. The same teaching that we saw last time. Vodat alem ze beis chayem esaderach zug milas chasadim yelchu ze bikocholim ba zug kvura veasamasa ze adin asher yasun zu lifnei mishuras hadin. Each one of the words in this pasuk is learned to be talking about a different aspect of Torah. Let's just go to the next section, which unpacks a little
that
bit.
That makes no sense.
What?
Mikodin is patur.
Yes.
So if he wants to go lifnei mishuras hadin to help him, I understand that.
Yes.
He's going to lifnei mishuras hadin to actually pay him for the thing, which he's not obligated in the first place. That makes no sense for him to start shelling out money.
He wants to do, why? He wants to do something to help the guy out.
It doesn't help the guy.
It does. The guy was going to go sell the eitzim. That's what he's going to do.
Right.
He's going to sell the wood.
Now he doesn't have to schlep the
wood. Now he doesn't have to anymore.
Because he's now got the money from him instead.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's still more than... It's even more than the Nimisho Satim.
It is, because you wouldn't have to pay money, right?
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't have to spend any money for it. It's true. Let's just unpack a little bit more. Amar Mar, Yalchu Zabikur Cholim, Hainu Gmilach Chasadim. We don't have to do this now. We don't have to do this. Let's go back. What time is it? 9:30. Yeah, let's go back. Okay, so take a look at the sheets. So the first thing we're going to do is the Zakin. Who is the Zakin? So take a look at these sheets. This is going to be interesting. The Dropbox did some funny stuff to this file. Or your printer. I don't know exactly which one it is.
Really?
I don't know whose fault it is, but you're going to see how funny this is going to get.
Oh, okay.
All right. So the Ritva.
Do you have another one?
Yeah. So we'll start with the Ritva and the Ramban, who both say the same thing. So the Ritva says, Zakan v'eno l'fichvado, perish rabbeinu zaken b'chachmaso. He's really quoting the Ramban. Zaken b'chachmaso. So the Ritva says, this is a person who is a zaken in his chachma, almost definitely Torah. V'eno l'fichvado, I can't tell what happened over here. There's supposed to be a line in between. So it's clear according to the Ritva that it is Chachma Satora. This is talking about a Talmud Chacham. So the Ritva says, there is no equivocation here. He says it's purely a function of Torah knowledge. And you could be 80 years old, but in Amaretz, and you're not Zaken l'fichvado.
The other way around.
Meaning you're not going to be considered a Zaken.
I know. And in if you're 20 years old and a Tzaddik, and a big rabbi, yes. You want the same thing?
Yes.
Why?
20-year-old, all about Torah.
Why?
That's what the Zaken here is, and that's what they're referring to here.
What's his reasoning about it? Like, it's going to be bitter Torah, like, if he has to start dealing...
Or Nyan of Kavod.
Why
Nyan Kavod? Or simply, I don't know, if he's found something...
So take a look at the Ramban, maybe it makes it a little bit more clear. So Ramban on the left side says, V'kashin, the cave in the Tzar Balichayim. This is a Ramban from Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, where it says, you don't have to do prikat o from a behema. You don't have to do it for the same rules. If you're a Zaken v'eino l'fichvado, okay, which is what the pasuk is talking about. That's what the pasuk is talking about loading and unloading from an animal. So the Ramban is bothered. He says, Tzar Bali Chaim is daraisa, which is interesting. Zaken v'eino l'fichvado, amayenu parik. Why doesn't he have to do it? V'ikalimimra, ansei de kavod Torah adif. It's kavod Torah. Kavod Torah trumps all these cases. Money cases. In other words, you're just trying to save your friend's money. Kavod Torah is better than that. The Rambam does not go this way. The Rambam says, "Matza sak akupa im haya chacham o zaken mechubad." If you're a chacham or an older person who's mechubad, right? The Nimuka Yosef goes with this way as well, but he doesn't say mechubad. So the Nimuka Yosef says it's good enough to be either a chacham or just old. Shein dar kol litol kelim elu biyado, because it's not his way to do this. Eino chayav litabel ben. Interesting. The Rambam says it's all the same, right? Daniel, this is the point. Rambam does connect these two dinim. He says it's the same thing. If it's not your way to do this, because it's pasnish, in the same way that you would not go back for that amount of money. It's all the same din. In other words, it doesn't make sense for you to do this. If he wasn't going to be mochel on his kavod to go back and do this, so you don't have to do that. You don't have to be mochel on your kavod for a friend. That's the idea. I guess the Rambam is leaving the door open that if it was worth enough money, maybe you would. If a zaken would go back, if he left the keys, like Simon said, if he left the keys to his Maserati on Har Sinai, and he went home to Yaakov Dori, so he'd probably arrange to get the keys or to get his car. So maybe in that case, I'm not sure. Maybe in that case, he would have to do it for somebody else.
If it was something straightforward that wasn't you know, dirty or demeaning or heavy or anything like that, there's a check of $1 million or whatever else sitting on the floor, right? It's going to pick it up.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
But according to this, he wouldn't have to.
According to the Rambam, probably he would, because it says "Ein darko litol kelim elu biyada." Rambam makes it very specific, like it's about this case. This case, it's pasnish for him to do. But like you said, if in another case, it might not be. And maybe this is true also for the Ramban and the Ritva. If it's not an issue of kavod, then it's fine. There is a last opinion that of the Tosfos HaRash brings the opinion. He doesn't agree with it. If you look in the next section of this quote from the Shita Mekubetz, he says there are some who say Yesh Mefarshim Da'ase V'Hashav Anami Lo Adif Minei Diunami and Hashav. The underlying says V'Lo Benashim Yishum Dekol Kvoda Bas Melach Pnima. It suggests that women in general don't have to do Hashavas Aveda because they don't have to go out. They don't have to go.
Well, that's assuming they don't go out.
Yeah.
But assuming that they go out, then they should probably do Hashavas Aveda.
Probably. Yeah. I think either way, he says, Vlav Mil Sahi. By the way, this is it. Here's your line. Mm-hmm. It says, Kol Davar Shabishalo Darko Litol Bishal Chavero Chayav Lachser. So you're right. If you're living in Egypt in the 1100s, then maybe if you're a woman, you shouldn't do Hashavas Aveda because women are only allowed to go out once a month. But if you're living in Eretz Yisrael or in America or in South Africa or so then you probably, if you're a woman, you probably still should. Okay, so that's in terms of who the Zakin is. Clear? Mm-hmm. All right. The Shulchan Aruch, by the way, passes like the Rambam, the most expensive, one of the more expensive views, that it's referring to an older person or also a Chacham. Okay, the next thing is returning to the issue that we brought up before about the Ase and the Lotase. Right? Rashi said that the reason the Gemara didn't mention the Ase is because it wouldn't, the Lotase rather, is because it wouldn't have mattered. Right? Ase and Lotase versus Ase and Lotase, the math is the same. So Rabban disagrees. Rabban says the way that we have our Gemara, that's gears us Rashi, Verbeinu Afash, and the Rif. Vikashu Hashavas Aveda Nami Ase Velotasehu. So he asks the question that Rashi asks, which is that there's also a lo ta'aseh. So he says, "Aveda b'beisik varz ve'eno machzer eino over ela mishum lo tuchalis alem." So Ramban gives a more creative answer, a more satisfying answer than Rashi, which is that when does the lo ta'aseh apply? Right? It applies. Aveda b'beisik varz ve'eno machzer. So he actually suggests, he's pointing out the opposite. He's pointing out that really the only thing that's going on over here is the lo ta'ase, which is not going to work with the Gemara.
Right.
He's right, though. Because really what's going on over here is that you're ignoring it.
You're not doing the...
But you haven't touched the object. It's only once you touch the object that you have an obligation to give it back. The only obligation that exists before you touch it is don't ignore it, which is the lotase. Hold on one second. I had an explanation. Maybe I missed something from the Ramban. Or maybe this is actually part of his question on Rashi. Because the Ramban's going to change the girsa. Right, no, so he says there's a problem here. This is actually a question. Yeah, Ramban, this is Ramban's question, sorry. Ramban asks, he says, the Gemara doesn't make any sense. Because you're not over on an Ase over here. The Ase is Hashev Tishivim. That only occurs once you have it in your hand. What you're really over here is Yisalamta. So it doesn't even work. So he comes up with answers. He says maybe you were already in the cemetery or something like that. I don't know. That's why he says it's Nidchak. So he gives a different answer. He says, by the way, there's another problem beyond that. V'ha kaimelan emor darmina ati ase v'dachi lo ta'aseh hani mili kigon mila b'tzarat v'sadin b'tzitzit v'idna d'ka'avr lei l'lav kamakayim lei la'aseh. What is this? This is called be'idna. Be'idna is one of the rules that says that When do we say ati ase vedachi lo tase, that an ase can defeat a lo tase? When do we say that? Only when they happen at the exact same time. So, for example, what's the most, what are the two most famous paradigmatic cases of ati ase vedachi lo tase? So the most famous case is tzitzis with kilayim, right? Tzitzis with kilayim, where you have shatnes in your tzitzis because of the tcheles and the tzemer and the pishtim, right? So you're allowed to do that because when you tie it together, you're being the kind of the mitzvah of tzitzis. Another case is when you have tzaraat on the mila of a baby. So you're allowed to cut, normally you're not allowed to cut off tzaraat from your body. So there's an isser to do that. So here it's okay because you're doing the bris mila while you're doing the tzaraat, while you're getting rid of the tzaraat. Here, is that the case? Can you say ati ase v'dachi lo tase? Ati hashev teshivem v'dachi not to become tame. Why not? Unless the object is mamash at the edge of the cemetery, in which case you probably don't even have to go that far in. Maybe you could just reach over or get a stick or something. But if it's all the way in the cemetery, what's going to happen? You have to walk to get the object.
And then you get
tummy. You've been over the Avera right then and there, and you haven't even started your mitzvah. So the Ramban says this part of the Gemara doesn't make sense, and therefore, get rid of it. Says, get rid of it. Says, Avagav de Shakale Miyad, we could go on the Kaimel Petacha Bayas, the Kavaris, Mkoma Kom, the Kaimel Ase Adam Mahadele Namari. She says, Vashadiller Vachadimil Sakshile. He says, maybe we'll say that really, yeah, you're right. Lav Dafka, the Gemara just wanted to get to, to get to the end. And then he says, Vika Mixas Nuscha Atiki Vedrakne Dictibu Pshita Midachini Ceramic Commandment. Basically, take out that line, and they just say, only the Mamona part. Only the Mamona part. That it's obvious that there were two problems with saying that the Bisalanta is there to teach you about the Kohen. One was the Ati Ase V'dachi Lo Tase, and the other was the fact that the Mamona doesn't beat Isur, and everybody knows that. So he says that's the only thing that it should say in the Gemara. And actually, if you look, I don't know if you have it in your Gemaras, you definitely don't have it because you're missing the right side of your Gemara. But maybe it's on the left side in yours. I know that in mine, there's a little... I'm looking at the wrong one. That one. This one. There's a little chipchick over here. Or there should be. No, you don't have it actually. Huh, I do. I have a little sign after the word vitu. And in the Haggaot, it says Ramban takes out the first answer. So it made it into, at least into my version of the Gemara, that the Ramban takes out the first answer. That's what he does over here. Okay. Let's see if we have time for this. All right, we have some time for this. All right, these are two achronim I have over here. One is Rabbi Shmuel Rozovsky, and the other was Avram Erlinger, and Dropbox reversed the order over here. Dropbox pushed everything to the left instead of to the right. See? Reversed the Hebrew and English. Yeah, so hold on. So first look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, Haroa b'kilayim shol Torah al chaveiro afilu haya mahalech b'shuk Kofetzlo v'koro alav miyad. This is based on the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says that if you see somebody walking in the market and he's got kilayim on his body, what do? You rip it off. V'afilo haya rabo shalim d'chochma. You see a rebbe walking in the street, right? He's walking there in the street.
You can really tell kilayim from a distance.
There's a Rosh Hashiva. I've never seen him do this, but there's reason to believe that it's true. There's a Rosh Hashiva in Yerushalayim who supposedly doesn't like mesh tzitzis. He doesn't like mesh tzitzis. Right? Mesh talis katan, so he doesn't think it's good. So when he sees boys in his yeshiva wearing it, he rips it off them, literally. Rips it off their bodies.
I'm sure that's a great...
It's his modus operandi.
Help you become closer to Hashem.
All right, well...
Since then...
It's not this way in the Gush, but in many yeshivas, this kind of an atmosphere actually can be very exciting and fun for kids. So, and it's great, like, makes great stories.
That's when you have your title.
What?
Well, the first day.
First day
your lunch money stolen.
Fine. The first day.
That's the thing.
And it has my first
yeah.
Because it's made of good tag. You have to be detagged.
Ah.
So I didn't go. I didn't go. But I heard about that.
Torn off. If you haven't been detagged, you don't get out of the gate.
Sorry. It's a form of freshman
And you enjoyed that?
I was in the first year.
We had, in my high school, it had what was called a freshie line. which is freshman is your first year in high school. So the seniors who are the oldest. So there was a locker room, not a locker room for like changing lockers with lockers. There's not a room, just lockers where you put your books, and it's kind of like this narrow passageway. So there's only one way out. So what the seniors used to do is sometimes they would stand at the end of the passageway, and then as the freshmen would come out, they just like knock them around, like from one to the other, on their way out.
Those are the days.
Did you have clothes hooks? Did you have like place to hang your hat?
Kids.
Hat?
They had some
hat.
We wore hats,
jackets, coats.
Oh,
we wore hats.
We had coat, right?
We
had
caps. So we didn't have caps.
I don't think it's relevant.
No, it's not.
He had it.
It's not. Anyways, so the Rambam says, even if it's your Rebbe, you rip it off of him. Shein kavod abrios docha iser lo tasem b'chosh. Because you know what? Adkan. Kavod abrios is very nice. Kavod abrios is a great rule, but as the Gemara in Bracha says, ein eitz of ein tfuna negen Hashem. There's a mitzvah in the Torah not to wear shatnez. So kavod abrios is very nice, but you need to take it off of him. So even if he has to walk around naked in the street.
What?
Sneers is not a mitzvah.
So you tear all the clothes off the coat.
Walking around without a shirt on is not an avera.
So you tear all the, like the clothes off.
It's a woman
wearing. No, because there it's a mitzvah. What are you talking about?
A woman wearing it.
He's wearing shatnez trousers.
So the story in the Gemara continues that there was a woman who was wearing, yeah, exactly. There was a woman who was wearing kilayim, and a rabbi went over and pulled the clothes off, and then it turned out she wasn't Jewish. And
he got fined.
And he apologized. He said, Matan, I don't remember exactly why, because I think that was her name. And he apologized to her, and he felt very badly. Gave her a bracha. So that's the Rambam right over here. But here, he says, but what about our Gemara? Our Gemara is the opposite. Zaken leinu l'chikvado, right? Is a good reason to not have to do Hashavas Aveda. V'lama nidcha b'Hashav Aveda. What about that? Why don't we say that?
You can just
excuse me, but Hashavas Aveda is a mitzvah, and eitz avein tfuna neged Hashem. You have to do the mitzvah. Forget about your kavod. So the Rambam says, v'ibnei shehu lav shel mamon. Because that is a lav shel mamon, Hashavas Aveda is just an iser lota, say that you're not allowed to ignore it, and it has to do with mamon. What does he mean by this? What does that mean? What is it talking about? So Shmuel Rozovsky gets involved with this. So first he quotes the Rambam, which I took out, and he says it's clear on the left side, by the way, where it says Chidush Rabbi Shmuel, so under that.
Yeah.
So he says, "Mashma denaka tahada hazakin veinal lefichvodo miftar mehashavas aveda ukamochin mepriko uteina havidin dechia mimnei kavod abrios." It sounds like he's saying that at its core, it's really the same. It's because of kavod abrios that the zakin veinal lechivodo is pater. It's just that in this case, he really is pater because on the other end of it is only mamon. But it's really all the same. In other words, he equates zakin veinal lechivodo to kavod abrios. Fair? Right, that's what it sounds like. That I quoted for you, the parich ahad amar of Yehuda amar Rav hamotzi kilayim bebigdo poshtan afilo b'shuk mehada azaken veinal fikvodo miftar mehashavas aveda umishani shani hazam dechtiv yitzalamta v'ligmar mina isur mimamon alo yafina. The Rambam has a basis for this because the Gemara essentially says this. The Gemara says, what after saying this din about kavod abrios, it says, well, what about the fact that zaken veinal fikvodo? And the Gemara says, oh, that's because of yitzalamta, which has to do with mamon, and we don't learn from mamon. This is what somebody said, right? This is what Simon, this is what you said, I think. That mamon is just not as severe as iser. Where is this going? Okay, I think that's what we were supposed to have from there. What happened here? Right, let me try to read it from mine. Let's see if I still have it open. And maybe it's clearer there. Maybe Dropbox just messed the whole thing up. Just trying to find where the next section is. Can we go up here? All right. Here. Okay. Yeah, fine. Ubedivra, you can ignore that part. He says, go to the right side now. Don't go down. Go to the right side. So basically, I'll say it out loud, outside. Rav Shmuel asks, he says, you know, that's all very good for the Zaken Vein HaHivodo, but what about that other case? What about the case where you just decide that you wouldn't go back for that? So if you wouldn't go back for that, so you don't have to go back for it for your friend. Is that an issue of kavod? No, it's something else, isn't it? It's not about kavod abrios, is it? Not kavod abrios. Because I wouldn't go back for a few agarot, or whatever, let's say for a few agarot. Maybe I'm rich enough that I wouldn't go back for 10 shekel.
Is it kavod?
So I don't have to go back for anybody else?
Is it mamon, or is it...
Well, that's true. No, I'm saying that's the din. The din is if I left 10 shekel over there, but I wouldn't go back for it, so I don't have to go back for it, even if it's Simon's.
Mm-hmm.
That's the halacha, right? Is that from kavod abrios?
No.
Am I claiming kavod abrios when I say I'm not going to go back for it? Yes. No, it's seemingly something else.
It's a financial decision.
Yeah, so if it's all about kavod abrios, then what? This doesn't seem to fit. So he says, Vashenir Muchach Umavur Bazai. He gives the answer. Tahadi Afinu Bisalamta, the Zakin Min al-Fifod, the Miftar. It's not because of Dechia. It's not like we're pushing off the mitzvah because of kavod abrios. It's something else. Because you are not obligated to forego your kavod because of your friend. I'll just read it. In other words, the real source is actually the second case, the case of I left 10 shekel over there, I don't have to go back and get it. So it's actually a kal vachomer in the other direction. Is that if I don't have to go back and get it because of that, then for sure I don't have to be mochel on my kavod for the money. But the real driver is the idea that if I wouldn't go back to get it, then I don't have to do it for anybody else. That's really the core din. That's the direction that we're going
in. Doesn't it also make sense that if you didn't have that, then if I couldn't choose that I'm not going back, then every time I see literally anything, you know, left on the street, paper cup or whatever else, after thing or whatever.
You could probably assume at some point that the person was miyayish and then you don't have to return it.
Maybe I can't do that for them or whatever else. Maybe given that I've seen it and there's a chiyuv on me to try and give it back, I've got to.
Cause I hear right, you
if
saying.
If I can't.
In some cases, you can't do that, though. In some cases where it's obvious that, you know, you wouldn't be able
you're
to
saying
find
it's
it.
Obvious, but you're saying if it's the same. It's
no,
the same
if
argument.
it was something. No, look, the whole Gemara is deals with cases where you sometimes do have to try to return it because it's returnable. Sometimes you don't. But I hear your point
this is an extreme example or whatever else. But the bottom line is if there was some kind of siman or there was some kind of, you know, it might be of value to someone else or whatever else. If I couldn't be a you know, objective judge if I can't be objective of whether it's valuable to me or not or whatever, right, then I have to think that someone else might find value in it, and I have to bring it back if
point.
It's got any siman on it, or if he left it in any particular place. So therefore, my value has to have some kind of value in the, you know, my ascribed value has to have some importance in the process.
Yeah, and that's what he's saying. He's saying that the real din. The real din is, do you have to go back? And by the way, the what he did, though, that's important, and he's going to do something with it, is that he changed the language from dechia to ptur. If it's dechia, if it's basically, look, the Torah says that in cases where there's an old rabbi walking by and he sees a wallet on the ground, he doesn't have to pick it up and he shouldn't pick it up. Because it's not lefi chvodo. That's basically how we've been seeing it so far, right? That's how we've been looking at it so far. This is this value judgment almost that, you know, it's inappropriate for him to do it and therefore he shouldn't do it. Right? So then, what if he decides that...
he's going to do it anyway.
Yeah, what if he decides that he's going to do it anyways? Should he?
He could be... No, it could be worse. It could be going against the kavod of the Torah.
Should be, he should not. Right. When the Torah says that kavod abrios is a value, And it's a value that overrides Dinei Durabanan, right? Can you say, well, you know what? I want to go with the Dinei Durabanan and ignore Kavod HaBrios. You can't do that. Kavod HaBrios is of value. That's what the Torah encourages it. It's enough to be Docha Durabanan. It's not enough to be Docha Duraisas. That's what the Gemara Bracha says, except in extreme cases.
That's what Halacha says as well? No.
Yeah, well, yeah. So
you brought this up on other occasions with issues of Shabbos. We have a situation to cover the brace against
Dinei Durabanan for sure. Yeah, those are that can come up. So if it's about kavod HaBrios, then you should not go lifnei mishurat hadin. However, if it's a p'tur, right? If it's a p'tur being driven by the fact that if you wouldn't go back for it yourself, then you don't have to go back for somebody else. Then you can say, well, you know what? I wouldn't go back for it, but I care about this person, so I'll go back for it. And by extension, a zakein can say, you know what? I don't have to do it because it's not lefichvodi, but I'm going to do it anyways. Because the fact that I don't have to do it is not because it's the Torah is against me doing it because of kavod HaBrios. It's just the fact that it recognizes that I shouldn't have to do it, but I can do it if I want to. He says, that's a nafka mina. Between those two understandings. And that's what we suggest.
What is the zakein on not doing that even when they have to? Now you're setting a precedent.
Meaning what, the next time?
Not necessarily for yourself, for other people. In other words, now someone else who may be also a zakein, maybe has the less stature, now he can't not do it because the rabbi or the zakein.
Interesting point. Yeah, I don't know whether it works like that, but it's an interesting point. Okay, we're running out of time, so let's go to the other side of the sheet, if you have it. Mm-hmm. On the left side, so this is Rav Avraham Erlinger, Shlita, still alive. So he writes about the Hikisha case, right? Remember the Hikisha case? If you start it, you got to finish it. Seemed very strange. If you start it, you have to finish it. Why?
Makes a lot of sense.
So, what, you mean now, or in general it makes a lot of sense?
You can't...
He started it and then he decided he didn't want to do it. So why don't we say, well, you know, he doesn't have to do it. Why? Why not? So what? So he's matchil b'mitzvah. So what? So he can stop. Zchuto to stop. If he didn't have to start, why shouldn't he be able to stop? So he says, Hikisha b'chayev b'ab perish Rashi ho b'hitchil. Rashi just says it as a blanket statement. Apparently, according to Rashi, once you start a mitzvah, you're obligated to finish it. Not only is it a nice thing. The Rambam, Shari Hitchil b'mitzvah, he says same thing. Vloni zbar kokach, ezen isin estamid. What does that mean? Kevin the Pater, who we call him Omer Logamor, Vatu Isha shehitchila b'tkiyas shofar, chayevet legmor atkiyot? Imagine a woman who started blowing the shofar, she blew 29 tkiyot. And then she says, you know what? That's enough. She's not allowed to do that. She has to blow the 30th. She's p'turah from blowing the shofar, but she still gets a mitzvah by doing it. So she blows 29. Now she has to blow the 30th because that's the minimum chiyuv d'oraisa. It seems very strange. So he says, "Ubiikar divrei Hagemara, yesh lomar al pi shitas Ramban." He gives a few different possibilities. According to the Ramban, you might say, "Dechalos mitzvas hashava idezeh shabali ado v'lo bereiya." Imkain yesh lomar de p'tur de v'salam tehurak b'lam shalot tuchali salem. It's a beautiful answer. V'lo ba'aseh shal hashava. L'chein al idezeh sheikisha yesh lomar dechal haaseh u'bazeh in p'tur. So what does the Ramban? What could the Ramban suggest? Say, there's two mitzvot over here. The first mitzvah is don't ignore it. So that he's pater from. He's allowed to ignore it. But he didn't ignore it. He started. And now what does he have? Hashev teshivim. Now he has an obligation to return it. And that one he's not pater from. The Torah never patered it. The only v'hisalamta was he only had v'hisalamta. But he didn't have on Hashev teshivim. Uh-huh. So now he's in trouble. So he says, Gamze in a nira, de la Ramban, nira de hamitzvah chala ideza shibeli ado, avalobi hikisha amenat lahachzir, vikoshkin bahach de besamach de shada kala beizi. He says, it sounds like it's because the mitzvah came to his hand. I'm not exactly sure what his problem is. Avalobi hikisha amenat lahachzir. I think he's saying it's because he started to, yeah, it sounds like he's saying, yeah, and that's what he says over here. Where Abaye, for example, what did he do? He just threw dust at the goats. Does that mean now he all of a sudden has Hashev Teshivim? So he doesn't think so. He says, Hashev Teshivim applies once you have it in your hands.
Can you?
Right? Yeah. In other words, well, in that case, it sounds like it's because you have it in your hands, so now you have to give it back, which Abaye didn't have. So, I think you could argue with it.
You relate it to it.
Yeah, that's what I would have said. I would have said once he starts the mitzvah, so then that's Hashev Teshivim, but okay, he argues with that. Fine. So now he goes to Birka Shmuel. Birka Shmuel was Rav Baruch Ber Leibovitz, one of the foremost Talmidim of Rav Chaim. This is what I think some of you guys were picking up on, which is the moment that he picks it up or he starts with it, right? Now he now has a monetary relationship with the object. He's now a shomer. Once he starts getting involved with it, once he does that, now he is now a shomer. The Gamar Ramu Haran Shvilei the Mitzvahs Hashava the Chal Bariyah Mikomakom Az Eino Ela Kishar Mitzvahs Asay VaAchari Shenatla Chal Shiabud V'Din Shomer. Once he picks it up, he's now a shomer. He doesn't like that one so much either. He gives other ones. Let me just see if I can parse them. Okay, you know, we'll finish with that idea that maybe once he became a shomer, that's what made him chayev. Almost not mitam hashavat aveda, but shomer. In other words, there's no p'tur of zaken v'ena lefifodo on a shomer. If you give something to an old man, he still has to watch it. So once he picks it up and he starts getting involved with it, now he has an obligation of hashavat aveda as a shomer.
Right.
And that's what would make him chayav. All right. Shkoyach, guys. Shkoyach. Shkoyach. Shkoyach.